Maybe it'll be better if we
take
a break and have dinner then first, and come back at 7.
You want to try to finish up tonight? Huh?
Yeah. Maybe we should.
Up to you. You're here to work.
Yeah. I think the others won't take too much. Other subjects. But if we can't, we can get them done in the morning. But we should go ahead and come back at 7 and do some of those things. Tamona, Patullah, what is the Yakta?
Well, the only thing you've got to do is
you know, go over these and figure out what you're going to do with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finance report the car to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Tap ko asi evictin na tar Luis manik sangat nun. I mean for this year.
Yeah.
Same long range goals and short range and so forth you got, I guess, your overall goal.
Yeah.
Aglan manik say pata igli guinya mito. Kanak tu tun ni.
Scouts, things going in some of the villages, and to a very small extent had some I don't know if you'd call it success, but progress, working kind of in the alcohol and substance abuse related areas. And basically, in your back days, that area, those are the areas that I've been working in pretty much, and then whatever else might hop along.
Is that it?
Kind of in a nutshell, yeah. You know, I maybe this would be a good time for you guys to tell me what I should be doing. I, you know, some degree, you know, different things with alcohol and drugs, new bath days, and not really that much with Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, because you make contacts in some of the villages, but everybody will say, yeah, it's a good idea, but nobody wants to volunteer the time to take care of the kids. An example of that is we're going to have a kind of a jamboree this year. postponed from the beginning of the summer towards the end of the summer. And by the end of the summer, there just wasn't anybody that was around to go up and be with the kids. And you know, something like that, that's a, it's kind of a volunteer program. And that's just kind of where that one is right now.
We know you are working hard. I don't think we can go on without you.
Reggie continued to do a real good job with the kids. I don't know of anybody else that can work at it like him. So far he hasn't found anybody that will stay with it to help him out for more than one or two seasons at a time. And so he ends up having to do it all over and teach, you know, other people how to help him every summer. If he's had any problems, it's been at this level where he hasn't yet gotten any direction. By this level, I mean the rest of us here, too, maybe more than the elders, on where we should go. And just going over this, the last time we actually sat down and established goals, we had this one paper here. Kind of wrote out what needed to be done. And based on that, Reggie and Robert have been trying to follow this, and they have, and in the areas that they can, using the silent method, that's something that we just couldn't jump into. It takes people that know how and stuff like that, and. Right now, we've been waiting for Ruthie Sampson to get into this, get into her job to where she could start fitting it in and making it work in the school district. That's about the only place we can do it right now because there's no other staff to work on that. The rest of it, I think maybe. I'm not, you know, I don't know how much time you guys spent in the different villages. I know Reggie and Robert and maybe some of the rest of you traveled to some of the villages, maybe not so much working with the elders or anything like that, but working on alcohol and drug problems. I know they did a lot of traveling on that, different parts of the region, wherever they were. But the way we decided to do that was that we couldn't keep pushing things down from here, and that they'd only respond, or they'd only go out there if they were asked to. So somebody in the villages had to ask them first before they would go out. And so that's one of the reasons I think that it may not have worked as well, because those villages that are having the hardest problem are the ones who have the hardest time asking for help. And we may have, we may have to start over in some of those villages and just go out there and put a meeting together and get them started again. The scouting program, again, you need local volunteers, like Reggie said, and it's hard to get. We tried to get as much as we could local Inupiaps to volunteer to do this, and almost every case where we've got a program going, it's not Inupiaps that's running it, it's Malolmese, just like there always was. And maybe we're doing this wrong. Maybe we should get Malolmese to do it, if that's, you know, the only ones available and the only ones our kids can depend on to run the program. And after they get going, we try to get our own people in. Somehow it's gotta work because it's still a good program. I don't know about maybe a summer jamboree is not something we can't hold. Maybe we have to look at the winter and go to long weekends or something for something like that. The rest of the stuff, you know, they're been supporting the Inupiaq Day programs when they could. The other thing that's going on, almost everything that, except where they don't have any real say, reorganize and train elders councils was one of the goals that was brought up at the elders council meeting, and we, I don't know if we ever did that. Huh?
No.
No. It's kind of hard even for Robert to. Say, okay, you guys don't know what you're doing, I'm going to train you now. You know, we can't take that step. It's got to be the regional elders council that says we're going to go help you elders in this village. And then people like Robert and Reggie and Willie or I can help. But you got to, you know, you have to do it because we don't have the status of elders, so we can't go talk to you and say, you know, we can help you. You have to do that yourself. Well, I think he's been doing a good job on that part. We've had any problems with Reggie, it's been in the paperwork side, but I don't consider that a problem because that's an area where if we let him do it, then he's not going to be working with the kids. And that's not what we hired him for. We hired him to work with the kids because he works good with kids, better than anybody else. So if there's something wrong in that area, then we're going to have to figure out how to do that without, you know, interfering with his main work. Susie and her crew have been backing him up pretty much on that, and I never considered that a problem. That's part of the job. The worst thing, I think is not getting specific enough direction from this council and the rest of us who support the program, people like Willie and I and Robert, Anita, district.
He's been pretty much alone.
And part of that's, you know, partly my fault because when we first started, I took that responsibility to work with you guys and kind of, you know, to work out the details of what we're going to do. And like I said, last 2 years I was with Nana, we didn't have any time for that. You know, we were in Washington and Juneau and North Barrow, and I mean, it wasn't just us, you know, when we start thinking about how involved we got. Susie was involved in it, Marie, Robert, Billy, you know, everybody was working on this, and we just dropped everything else, so he was kind of on his own. But I think, you know, I still think that the job he's been doing has been good. I know he's gotten, you know, a little tired. But that's something that can be handled. I agree with Billy. I think he's, you know, I don't think anybody else could have done the job. How many people work, you know, the kind of hours he does, 20 hours a day, all summer long, and then still tries to work during the winter time too?
That's why we didn't want to see him quit. We talked about it last meeting, and we talked about more leave after some busy month that could be arranged. We want to keep him for the sake of children. We know he's good for children.
I don't think that's a problem. I think you could just decide, you know, what's best and then do it. Because who else is going to do the stuff anyway? And the kinds of things that he would be doing after this is over are things that other people can do, you know, after the summer season's over. So I don't think that's a problem. And he should get more time off. You know, you can't just keep working like that.
Sure.
7 days a week, 20 hours a day for 3 months.
And he tried to handle these meetings.
Well, I don't know how it works now. I suppose, you know, when I was here, I had administrative control over the program, so I could do that, but so Willie's over here now, so I have to talk to him. Even if I didn't do that job very good, Willie, you got it. Values and all that takes, it's almost like religion. You have to work at it every day, you know. And if you've got all these other battles to fight, you know, you only got so much energy to use. And the kind of things that we're talking about takes a lot of time and energy. And we've all been busy for a long time, but whenever we started concentrating on trying to change our focus, what we were looking at from business to language and culture and tradition and everything, to try to keep that going, we just practically abandoned our businesses, you know, and we started putting all of our energy on that when we made those tours through the villages. And trying to face up to some of our problems. And we never had a real plan in mind, you know, because we just started. And tried to do the best we can, at least of letting our people know that that life was not all business and politics. You know, there was more important aspects to it. And so we sat down and went to every village and tried to work with every village to have them see if they saw the same things we saw and how to try to solve them. and what we came up with, and I still have all of my notes from all of the villages on all of the different things that people came up with, what they thought that we could do to try to maintain our Inupiat heritage. And really that's, you know, and I think that's sort of a misunderstanding that some of our own people have, that that Inupiat survival is something that comes from up here and then, you know, we push it down this way. But the reality is that, you know, it has to be wherever our people are, you know, and whatever they used to do traditionally to pass on this knowledge and information and the values. And all we could do is try to encourage that and support it as much as we can. Unfortunately, you know, when you're in a battle, you have to concentrate all of your forces where you need them. In the last year or two, we've concentrated our battles on our economic future. That is the fact that our people have to have employment to survive, and that's where we put damn near all of our energy. And I've still not recovered from that physically. Just the strain of all the battles we had to go through on trying to get as far as we have with that mine and with the detachment and with the borough, just with the politics of it, the funding, everything. And I think we've all kind of got a little battle fatigue going. I know I have. And I have not had any time off since I took the job last January. And on top of that, of course, the economy is going to hell. So, in terms of my own time and energy, you know, I'm going to try to do, I think, what I'm supposed to do, which is basically to try to keep Nana as on as good a financial basis as we can, in spite of the way the economy is going. And it's very bad. It's not, well, it is impacting Nana. You know, I'm not sure how bad it's going to be this year. We ended up this fiscal year, end of June, in pretty good shape. But the year that we're in right now, we're keeping pretty busy, but there's no profit there. I mean, very little profit, if any, on all of our activities on the North Slope. And we have to do everything we can to maintain controls here. I mean, I'm caught between, you know, we want to do what's right up here, but at the same time, you know, my job and part of my obligation to the people, the shareholders, and well as the board, is to try to make sure that Nana, and at least as a business, you know, survives. And we're going to do that. What we're going to have to do, I think, is be a little bit more creative about programs like this. And all of the, you know, it's not just Nana. You know, it's all of our different organizations that we used to try to support Nubelo Kuset, all of the people, you know, as they tighten the money, you know, it's easier to let our people go. That's the way the systems are. And and I know that there's a fair amount of frustration because everybody expects this thing or that thing to happen, and they wonder why it doesn't happen. I think there's some frustration because things don't move fast enough. All these problems that we saw several years ago, they're here and they'll always be with us. And it's going to be a matter of how we work at trying to resolve them. some of the things that Truman mentioned about the way it used to be in terms of the discipline, you know, that our leadership could give in the villages. I mean, I remember that. I mean, I'm not so young that I don't remember. I mean, I'm old enough to remember some of the discipline and control that our own people had over our children. But as you know, there's so many influences that get to our children and to our young people that it's almost, you know, it's real hard to overcome it. But that doesn't mean that that we give up. I think the way I look at it, we're in a lot better shape than we were, because at least before we didn't even recognize, you know, the problems, or we didn't even have anything in mind about how to try to ensure that our Inupiaq people maintain our history and our culture and our identity. And so we have made some real positive steps. At least we're working at it, and I think we've tried to pass on to other younger people the importance to their children of having their Inupiaq identity and their heritage. And we wanted to remind older people and grandparents that they have a duty, you know, to help in that area. So we've made progress. You know, we've got the Suvanirlik, which we didn't have before, you know, and we have our elders' councils that at least they exist, you know, and some are doing some, maybe some aren't doing enough. You know, at least we have, you know, Inupiaq Day should be every day, but at least we get the system, you know, the school systems and whatnot, the Nalohmi structures that we have to work with. At least they're, if nothing else, they're recognizing, you know, that there's value in our Inupiaq heritage, and some people work hard at it in those outfits. And, you know, we're working closer with our college students to try to make sure that they don't just fly off and end up in some big organization somewhere away from us. So there is, I mean, there has been some real progress. And, you know, Suvanirlik has become a part of our established structure around here. You know, there's more people, kids there than we can properly handle. And, you know, I think we need to think about ways to expand the idea, you know, like the Upper Kobuk, or maybe thinking about that Tagirmi type of environment that, you know, some of the Upper Kobuk people would like to know more about. And this period we're in, where things are kind of tight, I think it's temporary. It might last a year or two, we don't know. But in many ways, I think we're going to be a lot better off than some of our other friends around the state that we work with in the different regions. At least we have recognized our problems and we're trying to work on them. Some of the regions, strictly business, you know. They don't really care for native hire, you know. They could care less about subsistence. They could care less about preserving our language, you know. And in my mind, that's going to be self-destructive in the long run, you know, because they're all going to sell out their stock and they're going to forget about being Inupiaq or Itkalip or whatever they are. So in terms of what we do, I think we need to try to continue getting the kind of financial support we need from the state. I think we could keep getting some of that. You know, we have some coming. But I think one thing we need to do more of is to work more with foundations. There are numerous foundations around the country which we have not really effectively gotten support from. And I was just noticing earlier I was talking with John about a group that's meeting in Nevada. Basically, it's a business that has an Indian fund, and they're sponsoring a 2 or 3 day seminar on private sources of funding for Indian programs. And I may end up even going myself just to get some feel for how many millions or hundreds of millions or whatever they have, you know, scattered around the country of monies that are available to Native organizations from religious charities, other corporations, private corporations, and see how we might be able to fit different elements of our program, you know, into these funding sources. You know, whether it's Inupiaq language stuff, whether it's drug and alcohol, whether it's funds for elders, you know, whether it's historical, you know, there's all kinds of different ways that we can fit our funding sources into our Inupiaq Legal program. So I think that's an area where we need to
When will it be?
In October 1 through 3, I think. Yeah. And Rose Robinson is working with it. You know. But they're going to have some professional Indian fundraisers. They're going to have, speakers and workshop presenters from foundations, corporations, religious organizations, organizations serving the fundraising field, and Native American fundraising professionals. And they'll be talking about the nonprofit tax status of federal tribes and government entities. So we have, you know, we have the IRAs, we got all these outfits that we could use, I think, to try to seek these funds. The other thing is, insofar as I know things have kind of floated around a little bit here over the last year or so, but like I said, it's partly because we were about up to here and fighting our battles, and we've come a long way with those. So the way I look at it, in a way, our elders organization is a little bit like, after the Land Claims Act passed, we had AFN, and nobody knew what it was supposed to do, you know, because it had no money sources, and it was not written into the Land Claims Act, and, you know, we were split up into 12 different organizations, and everybody was afraid of the AFN, you know, because they all had their own thing going, and nobody knew what it was going to do, you know. And so, in a way, our elders councils is something that we want. You know, we see a responsibility and a real role for it in helping us to sort of stabilize our area. And in those important things where we need help, you know, we try to seek your support, and it's been real helpful to some of us younger ones who, you know, who tried to make some of these decisions over the years and didn't have any place to go to ask if we were doing right or wrong. You know, we just did the best we could, you know, in dealing with the system out there, with the state or federal government. We've always tried to do it with the best interest of our own people. And sometimes it, you know, because we don't have enough power, it doesn't always work the way it should. But I think if we had had a group like this, we could talk to, you know, 20 years ago, it might have made the biggest difference in the world, you know, in how we went about trying to do things. But at that time, we weren't old enough to recognize it. And so we, I think we've suffered a little bit from not having somebody to advise us that way. But right now we've got, you know, our people are getting split so many different directions with organizations and with state, you know, state entities, this, that, and another. And I think you people can help us work together a lot better than we've done in the past, you know. We're not as split up as some other regions because we try not to let our different organizations, you know, push us apart. So I think the way I look at it, in response to your number one roles of your elder councils not clearly defined, well, you know, the way I look at that, you know, in a way, you sort of help define your role, you know. In my own view, you know, one of your main functions is help encouraging the passing on of our language and our traditions, the knowledge and the skill of survival in this part of the world, as well as our history. And, you know, and to me, all of that is it's almost like a lifetime deal, just, you know, just trying to deal with that, because we don't want to end up like so many different groups where some of their culture and their language and history is so far back that hardly anybody remembers it, you know. And somehow or another, we need to keep that alive. I mean, I'm still waiting for Robert to finish that story he started telling one time. You know, I don't know how many other people know that story, Robert, about that guy who went down to the bottom of the lake. You know, there's a whole world down there, and some Inupiat story, which I think is fantastic. Well, you know, somehow or another, we need to keep those going. And because it's part of our heritage, it's part of our tradition. And passing on this sort of knowledge and information is going to be helpful to those little kids as they grow older, and, you know, they have to end up out in the big world out there. Sometimes they end up don't knowing where they come from because they can't relate to anything. You know. And also, part of I think your work could help us younger people work together better, even though we work, you know, for the school district or Manila or Nana or this or that, because sometimes our heads get in our way and we can't get together. And part of your job could be to help make sure that we do what we're supposed to be doing and not waste a lot of energy, fighting each other, which happens in lots of regions, you know, because they've got so many different organizations. Also, another responsibility, I think, would be to help encourage our families to teach Inupiat and to teach the values in the home and in the community. And of course, that was sort of the way we had in mind when we had each village work up their different programs, you know, in the village. Because that was what they thought that they could do. Now, the way I look at it, I mean, you can't do everything, right? Because so much of what we're losing takes a lot of concentration to put back again. And so to me, you know, you could make a list of priorities, what you might try to have each village do, or at least they can help select their own priority. Some it might be the language, some it could be any number of different other things. I think, but the more of the responsibility that is kicked back to the family and the elders in the family and the uncles and aunts, insofar as the young people are concerned, some of us older people are too far gone to be, you know, to be fixed up in any way.
keep trying, I guess. But the other thing is to make sure that each village carries out their Inupiaq Lhtukseq program that each village identified a few years ago. Also working with the school system to encourage teaching Inupiaq ways through the schools. You know, they take so much of the time of the student, and they're filling those little kids with so much information all the time that it almost crowds out the Inupiaq knowledge. And so, you know, we have to do like those Koreans and Japanese and others, you know, where you find some more time somewhere, right? On a Saturday or, you know, or after school or whatever, in order to keep passing on, or the summer ones, keep passing on the knowledge of Inupiaq ways and the values. Another thing, like we mentioned earlier, the idea of trying to come up with some other